I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 376, Rock Dog.
Finally. Wait, did I go to the wrong thing?
I think you did.
Oh.
Yeah. Wrong screening.
Gotcha. So it's that. Well, I saw the Mercy Me movie too, so I should be covered either way, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes, they brought Rock Dog back into theaters to compete.
Just to compete.
The only thing that could compete.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. So, no, it's Avengers Infinity something or other.
Gauntlet.
Gauntlet War.
No, Gauntlet.
Infinity.
Crusade.
Infinity refers to its runtime.
Yeah.
Its cast.
Also true.
And the amount of money it's going
also
to make.
Also correct.
So it was aptly titled.
Yeah.
So before we get too far afield, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So we're skipping the box office, although my guess is we'll talk a little bit about the box office. So you get a, I'm assuming, what will be a two-parter this week.
I don't know how it won't be.
I don't know how the movie wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, it is?
It is? Well, it should have been another two-parter. It should have been the first two-parter that was a two-parter. Like, each part of the two.
Look on the bright side.
Right.
Part 1A.
This was as long as Batman versus Superman.
Didn't feel like it.
That's what I'm saying.
Seriously?
Yeah. That was 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I know.
And, if, I mean, this
I'm
is
still,
probably...
I'm
I think,
still feeling it.
I think it's two. This is 240 because of the credits.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you
but
got like 10 minutes
they
of
usually
credits.
Do
but
credits
Batman Superman probably
time.
Had similar length credits. I mean,
we wouldn't know.
Yeah, but we didn't stay through them. We stay through these.
That's true.
Yeah. You didn't see Deathstroke at the end of Batman? Isn't that what? Or that, Justice League,
that
right?
Doesn't get to, that don't, they don't even get to the credits.
They do mid-credits.
They do like here's our cast.
Oh, here's the main
and
cast.
Then here's
and
the,
then
yeah,
here's
and then,
the scene. Okay.
We know we have to get this in quick because they ain't sticking around.
Yeah, I think I saw Deathstroke with my head
out the door.
Has peeking in from those side entrances where you're just like, good enough.
There he is.
Guy, you know who's probably the most excited about end credit sequences? Gaffers.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
They have to. You have to look at my name.
Right.
Like, gotcha.
You want to find Thor's hammer? Then you're going to find my name.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I guess shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, which is why we whine about it every week.
All the time.
We also have a Facebook page. Swing on by there. Stay up to date throughout the week. Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, you can share the show. People who were kind enough to share the show last week. And they were really smart to share the show last week.
They knew.
They're like, oh, even if I didn't listen, I'm going to share it this week.
Right.
So I get my name read in the Avengers episode.
Yeah.
So here are the people that really, really thought it through. Travis Tewitt, Librarian Cynthia, Chris DeLay, Tammy Sherman Powers, Troy Anspaugh, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Chris James, Chris Sanders, Griffin Fox Smith, Chris Magic Man, Brenton Smith, Jason Weesey, Ralph Tribble, Timmy Two Zunes, Musings of a Cosplay Witch, Lane Levanway, Julianne Jordan, Tom Comiskey, Richard Lawson, and Breaking Politico. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And also, don't forget, we have a Patreon account now, which I will let Kevin explain.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, thanks everyone that has supported the Patreon. It's only been about a week, and the support has been fantastic.
It's so good that we're quitting. We're retiring. We're taking all your money, and we're done.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what third world country we're going to live in, but honestly, though, thank you. You know, Joe and I are doing these 0.5 episodes. We explained it back on the last one, the last 0.5, but starting weekly, we are going to do at least one episode per week for the Patreon subscribers. So if you don't subscribe, everything's the same. You get your box office, you get your movie review, but this is extra. So we're starting off with weekly episodes, and the goal is to get more and more tiers, more bonus content, more exclusive, whether it be t-shirts, whether it be, you know, whatever it is. I mean, we're still thinking about it, but thank you for the support so far. And if you want to join us there, go to patreon.com/realspoilers, and it's just $5 a month or more. So for $5 is the entry point where you get all the bonus episodes.
Yep. Awesome. So with that being said, I guess let's maybe take an abbreviated look at the box office before we dig into the movie. Kevin has his tiny compact travel abacus at the ready. Kevin.
I do, Tom. Infinity War. That's the box office.
Okay, thank you.
No, I mean, really, that is pretty much it. So, of course, we all knew that it was going to be number one at the box office. The question was, will it beat...
By how much?
Will it beat Star Wars The Force Awakens U.S. opening record, which holds the biggest record of all time domestically? And so my estimates on the box office website say 235, but according to James Gunn, who I'm guessing has some pretty good up-to-date info, he says that as of this morning, the estimate is up to $247.1 million. And Force Awakens is 247.96.
So we're under
a million from breaking the all-time
record. It should break it today. Like by the end of...
If it's above estimates,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Or if Marvel wants to just fill a couple theaters with some giveaways or something. And, you know, but I mean, that's tremendous. 247.1 million domestic as of this recording. I mean, this thing... overseas is going to have at least another couple hundred million opening weekend. So we're going to be about 500 million worldwide opening weekend on this
one. This has a very strong chance, I think, of being number one, right? I mean,
there's a good chance of it. Like I said, it's
close. Well, it has that much of a chance.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, I mean, of all time.
Oh, you mean of movies or Marvel movies?
Well, movies. Why would Titanic even, or Avatar? Is that what it was?
That's
number one.
I don't know. That's I mean, it's almost 3 billion.
All right.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm not going to go there.
It's a better movie than that one.
Well, we'll see. But it's just
Titanic's a good movie.
Okay,
it is a good movie.
But Avatar
I've never seen Titanic.
Really?
No.
They have something. They have like three or four different kinds of movies in that movie.
Yeah,
right.
Why it works.
It's a four quadrant hit for a reason.
Yes.
There's a quadrant for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to see that romance. Guess what? There's a ship crashing.
Right. It's a giant fun action movie with tons of spectacle.
Yeah.
And there's a romance going on.
There's a villain.
It's Billy Zane.
And
right?
It's not. No, it's the iceberg.
Once again, blaming the Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
Billy
Zane.
Is
Billy
Zane not Jewish?
No, the iceberg.
The iceberg?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's, no maracas?
I just got to shake my head at that.
So now the purported budget for Avengers 3 and Avengers 4 is $1 billion, meaning the budget on this is $500 million. So it's made $500 million the first weekend worldwide, so it's not going to have a problem.
Yeah, like, I don't even care.
I mean, it's not going to have a problem recouping it, but it is a hefty budget. It's not like it's $200 million and they made $500 the first weekend. So even though the record may be broken and it may make a ton of money overseas, remember, it cost a lot too, so it's all kind of relative in the scheme of things. So we'll just have to see where it ends up in the end.
Where did Black Panther end up?
It's the number one Marvel movie, right?
No, I mean for the week.
Oh, where did that end up? Okay, so going to number...
Just out of curiosity.
Going to number five, as we talked about, Black Panther is out, I think, in a week or two, at least on...
May 8th.
May 8th.
I'm sorry, did you say number five?
Yeah.
So it moved up. It was at like...
Yeah, it was like nine,
seven or eight.
I mean, that's what we figured would happen. No, it is number five with 3.6 million in week 11, a 27% drop.
That's funny.
From last week.
It
moved up. Its money went down because Avengers took all the money.
Well,
but,
sure.
But it went down 27% with another MCU movie in the theaters competing with it.
Right. Yeah. But it was. We said last week, I think it was,
I think it was like 7 or 8. We're like, well, there's no way it's going to drop.
It's not going to go
three spots in a week.
Not with people seeing it before.
And then it moved up 3 spots.
Yeah. So Black Panther, in case you're curious, is at $687 million domestic.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, it's no accident that the trailers, the newer or later trailers for Infinity War, you saw some... Saw a little bit, maybe a little bit of Wakanda. In
maybe
it,
just a little,
you know,
bit.
A little.
You must
bit
have
of
seen
the,
all of it because there's not much of it in the movie.
No, the whole ending, the whole last set piece almost takes place in
it's
Wakanda.
It's not that much though.
But
of
they,
the movie.
20 yeah. But they were also the showing like a lot of the dialogue from that.
Right. Because
they're like, hey, this is, you know what? People who are like, you think we should see it? It's like, oh, well, there they are.
Yeah,
you should see it.
Well, I will also say though, with the, given the length of the set piece, it was also obvious that they didn't just go and shoot a bunch of Wakanda stuff at the last minute.
No.
Like, that was always intended to take place there.
It's interesting. So I went back and rewatched. I got to Ant-Man, and that's just, like, Avengers was coming out the next day, so as far as I get. They mentioned,
it's like high school all over again.
It really is.
Well, I got eight of the ten chapters read.
Close, right? Yeah. Like, what's the worst that could happen in the last two chapters of this book? They reference Wakanda like all the way back in Iron Man 2.
Yep.
Like they'd already set, like, Claw is in Iron Man 2.
Right.
Which I completely forgot about. Is it Iron Man or 3?
3.
3. Which I completely forgot about. And then
Civil War is when you see him, right?
No. Yes.
Age of Ultron.
Ultron because that's where they go on the ship mm-hmm. but he's in that.
I always confuse Civil War because it's Avengers 2.5.
It's crazy how far back they have
the better
this.
One.
Oh, it definitely. One, absolutely.
Yeah. How far back they had this set. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's nuts that they were planning this. You know,
do you think they were, or do you think it was just a cute reference? How sometimes they just say something like, oh, sneak, it's a little fan service, sneak in a reference to Wakanda.
No, I think once they dropped in Thanos as a post-credits, they knew, they're like, here's the thing we could do is we can build up to that, and honestly, for a lot of these movies, we only have to do them as post-credit. You know, it was always for a lot of this, most of the Infinity War stuff,
all of it,
in the early stuff, they just threw it in the post-credits,
right?
Not there
because they could loosely point towards that direction. Like they didn't like in the main movies themselves. It's not like it's all based around what's happening, but they would just throw in those little post-credits. It's like when they threw the collector, you know, it's like they started to just like pepper it through.
Right.
Wasn't it like, here's where the cube is? Like, weren't the post-credits like, here's, well, just like kind of catch up where the stone is or is going?
So like,
and they did Thanos before they had Josh Brolin.
Yes. It was a different actor at the end of Avengers.
Yeah. But
he didn't talk, though, did he? He just
he turned and smiled.
He turned and smiled.
Yeah. They kind of referenced that one of his creepy guys was like, he's courting death, mm-hmm. and which is a big thing in the original source material, and he just kind of turns mm-hmm. and smiles. But I felt like that was just all CG. I guess it had to be an actor.
Well, it was all CG,
right? And then they
have you seen
Josh
have you
Brolin.
Seen them side by side of Thanos from 2012 and Thanos from? It's funny because there's one meme going around that's like 2012 and then 2018 side by side, and then it like has this like Thanos moisturizer cream like he's using.
It's a
big difference.
Yeah, like, so the first post-credit sequence is Nick Fury. So then we go to the Hulk, and it's Tony Stark talking to Thunderbolt.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that is.
I know
is.
It is. It is part. I skip it. Skip it. Honestly, with the Hulk, you can just watch the post-credit sequence. So on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just
I'm
watch
sure
that.
It is. Iron Man 2. I don't remember what it was for Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2
is that
is...
where they find Thor's hammer?
That is Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer, yeah.
And then Thor is...
the Tesseract.
And is that what it is?
Yeah, because Loki is in the reflections. Like, that's interesting.
Oh, that's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And then the post-credit sequence for Cap is the Avengers trailer.
Yes.
And then the Avengers is Thanos. Mm-hmm. What's after the Avengers?
There's a nice website that actually has
all
these on them.
But,
so.
Like, then we see Thanos, and then it's game on. Because we don't know the Tesseract is a... We just think it's the Cosmic Cube. They never,
right.
They don't tell us it's an Infinity Stone
until,
like, three movies later.
But it's by... Avengers,
yeah,
that they were like, let's do that,
yeah.
But cosmic cubes are the protections for Infinity Gems.
No, in the original source material, the cosmic cube is its own thing.
Yeah,
that Skull was always after. They turn it into,
that's what it turns into.
It's always the cube. It's never an Infinity Stone. It's always just been the cosmic cube. Look
Infinity
up.
Crusade.
the cosmic cube.
When the goddess has the cubes and they're all protecting the different realities, infinity gems.
It is not a gem. It has never been a gem.
This is why I don't want to go to one of those trivia nights because I'm like, they'll take forever.
They're like, check it. Even by our standards, this is a pretty nerdy argument.
Tom and I actually just looked at each other, and that's rare.
Yeah.
We're like, wow.
No, it's always, and yeah, that's
well,
the.
Well, I think what gets confusing is that the Cosmic Cube is, it's HD now, so it's 16 by 9.
That's the problem.
Yeah. So a lot of people.
It's also lighter.
It's, it's actually anamorphic.
Yeah, right. It's curved.
It's amorphic. But we don't judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, like whatever. It can be whatever. It can morph into whatever it wants to be.
Right. I don't care.
Like it's however it wants to identify.
However you're comfortable.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You do you. So there, I think, is everything you need to know about the box office, which is it made all the damn money.
All
in the
money.
World. Yeah. Everything. But I think the larger lesson here, DC, is
take your time.
You take your time. Like you don't get like the only movie right now that's ahead of it, and that could fall, is a movie that took 35 years
correct
to build its fan base and get to that moment in time. This franchise like rushed to this moment in a mere decade.
Yeah.
So
in a mere decade.
So to think that you're going to make a Batman movie, a Superman movie, and then have a Justice League movie and make everybody crap their pants, it's just not going to be a thing.
Nope.
And you need to slow your roll and do it right.
In 2007, we were still in the Nolanverse.
Yeah.
Where Marvel, and that's where Marvel was just like, we can do this.
Yeah.
Like, we're tired of leasing out our characters and getting awful returns. Let's just take what we've got and hope for the best.
And make it work.
And actually, it's interesting. Like, they did lose their big four.
Yeah.
Right? So, Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men. It's interesting that they never lost the Avengers. Like, the core Avengers team never left Marvel. I mean, that original team was Thor, Ant-Man, Wasp, Hulk, and Iron Man,
but those are pretty hard characters to bring to the screen.
I guess they lost Hulk. They lost Hulk.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You didn't lose Cap. You didn't lose Iron Man. You didn't lose Thor. You didn't lose Hawkeye. You didn't, you know, that Black Widow. Those characters never left the Marvel.
But I think because the general take at the time was, well, Cap's kind of cheesy to turn into a movie. Yeah. Thor's kind of cheesy to turn into a movie. And I think
can't do anything with that.
Regular filmmakers looked at that and was like, and were like, well, what do we do with that?
Right.
How do we not make, how do we make that resonate on screen? And comic book people are used to it, and there's certain genre needs that these stories have,
right,
that they'll turn a blind eye to and
just accept it. That,
right.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do that to just some random 15-year-old walking into the Cineplex.
And then Feige and Favreau were like, here, hold my beer.
Yeah.
We got this.
They cracked the code.
They did. They figured it out.
Yeah.
And here we are 10 years later, still talking about these movies.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess we'll just jump right into it. We've talked about it before, about things you probably need to see before this.
I would say this is the first one of these movies where I would say you can't jump on.
No.
Like, this is not a starting
you
point.
You need to at least start with
do
Ragnarok.
Do I need to see, like, do I need my GED before I go for my MBA?
Yeah.
Do you need to see 18 movies?
No.
No.
But there's about four
about
that
four
are
or five
essential
that you're really going to need to
what
see.
What do you think they are?
I would think the first Avengers and, what, Cap Civil War?
I would see both Avengers.
Yeah.
Because of
that's where you get Scarlet Witch.
Vision.
Yeah.
And Vision, yeah.
And then Civil War to know why the team is broken apart for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think Guardians.
I think Guardians just to understand when. Cause
the first
they,
one.
They do, right. Because they do play a pretty large part in the movie. Because if not, I think you would be like,
who are these guys?
Who are these guys? Yeah. Why do they act like that? Like,
Doctor Strange.
He had a much bigger part in this than I thought.
Now we know why they haven't been talking about Doctor Strange too. It's like,
they were making it.
Right, yeah. That's okay, so we're just gonna, again, you know who we are,
right,
you know what
we
do, but there are some massive spoilers, and judging by the box office, everybody has already seen this movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm warning you now.
If you're listening to a show called Real Spoilers Infinity War,
I'm just saying
it starts off the back, we're gonna have to spoil. If we're gonna talk about it.
We're gonna have to spoil. So you do need to see Thor Ragnarok.
Yes, and that's the other one.
Because this picks up immediately where Thor, well,
if you wonder why an Asgardian ship
after the post credits,
yes,
like correct. Why their ship is in,
it's like
fragments.
10 minutes after we see Thor.
I kind of like how they didn't show a big battle because of the end credits. They show a ship popping up, and then in the opening scroll or whatever you want to say with the Marvel title, you hear them sending a distress signal out.
Right.
And so the ship's already destroyed. They
I cannot believe when they put up that Marvel logo and that 10 popped in there.
Yeah.
Like, I immediately was like, 10, I wasn't even married. Like, I didn't have kids 10 years ago.
Third of my life.
I don't think Leanne and I had started dating yet. I don't think.
It's a big deal.
Like, it was, that's a long time.
It is.
Like,
I was in the first marriage.
What about you? What were you at 10 years ago?
You know, it was just, I was 41, so I was.
So you've married. Already forgotten.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, no, I was married.
Okay. But yeah, it's just like 10 years, man. Like that's crazy pants that we're 10 years into this. So we are introduced to the children of Thanos and Thanos himself. He has wiped out the entire ship of Asgardians. Mm-hmm. So I have to believe there's no Asgardians left.
No, there's half.
He said half.
Is that what he did?
He said half my crew or whatever.
Were already gone?
Had been wiped out.
I think Valkyrie and
I knew there was somebody probably missing, took off.
Probably took off.
Okay. Yeah. I knew there was another character that I was
they're
like,
not gonna.
No.
I think it was best just to not show them because they're like,
they're gonna put there. She's in a new comic.
Yeah. It's like,
so they're gonna keep her.
She's pretty popular.
Yeah.
We should keep her.
So and everybody has is decimated. Their Heimdall is there. Hulk
he's able
is
to
there.
Beam Hulk back
well, there's
to
a,
Earth,
there's
which
a
is
scene
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between where Hulk immediately like steps up to the plate and he was like, yeah, let's do this right now and just starts beating the bejesus out of Thanos. And I like where one of the children of Thanos was like kind of steps up.
He's the only one that really talks.
But one of them steps up and he was like, just let him have his fun.
Ebony Maw is the one that talks, the wizard.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden Thanos turns and destroys the Hulk without even thinking twice about it.
And it was nice that Loki got the moment of, we have a Hulk.
Great moment.
And it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Classic Loki.
It works tried. For like when he says it, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, it's not.
Well, and Loki
working.
Even, we think he's doing his thing.
Thor, we think he is.
Thor tells him, you are the worst.
It is interesting that, okay, so they kill Loki. It's interesting that they give him... You think he's going to turn.
Again.
He's going to do the Loki thing.
Right.
But he doesn't.
But they give him his redemption before his death.
Yeah.
That he's going to try to stick Thanos in the throat with his knife that he materializes. But, you know, at this point, Thanos is just, he sees through it.
Yeah. He gives him, I do like where Thor's just like, you're never going to get the Tesseract. Like, it's on Asgard. And Loki just like,
Of course Loki stole it.
Well, we knew he had stolen it.
Yeah, he eyeballed it when they were running
around.
Right, right.
Like, and I will say, in the trailer, they make it look like Loki is going to join Thanos.
Oh, yeah,
like he's openly giving him the Tesseract. I was like, good misdirect.
Yeah.
Like, that first trailer is a huge misdirect for a lot of things.
Yes.
And it's just like that first Force Awakens trailer, the Last Jedi trailer, the Solo trailer, and the Rogue One trailer. They all kind of give you what you want to see, but they don't tell you anything. They take it away. Literally.
They give you the visual spectacle.
They do, exactly.
Without,
which is what you want to see.
Right.
Yeah, without spoiling the story.
So here's a description of what all six of the Infinity Stones are. So you've got the Mind Stone, which is Loki's scepter. That's the yellow one. The Space Stone is the Tesseract, and it's blue. He has the Space Stone... now because
from
Loki gave it to him. Exactly. The Reality Stone is red.
And so that's the ether.
And that was first seen in Thor Dark World. And so that's where we're going to get to how he gets the Reality Stone. The Power Stone is the purple one, and that is known as the Orb. And
the
that was
orb.
In Xandar. Yeah, and that was in Xandar's vault.
So simple. That we're just like, the purple one.
Yeah.
It's the one that turns you into Prince.
Correct.
Exactly.
That sounds all right.
The Time Stone, as we know, Doctor Strange has that. That's the Eye of Agamotto. And the Soul Stone is the unknown one that we'll get to, where no one knows where the Soul Stone is.
Somebody does.
Well, and somebody does. No. But.
And then there were so many. I mean, that's where a lot of theories were like, it's somewhere on Earth.
Oh.
I don't think so. It's not.
Surprisingly not.
There's an Earthling watching over it.
There was a lot of talk that it was going to be a Wakanda, and man, everybody was wrong.
Yep, totally wrong.
They didn't know it was going to be that popular before they could get it there somehow.
Yeah.
Like, to make that a major, holder.
So when we get to who that character, I wonder if they had plans to bring that character back from Jump Street. Or if they're just like, you know what? We haven't done anything really weird yet. Let's just throw this character in there.
No, they didn't bring the actor back.
Yeah, they did.
No,
that was
they didn't.
His, that was not nope. his. That wasn't his voice.
Was not.
No.
Was not.
Then that dude did a hell of an impression.
Yeah. Yeah. He's done that for something else too. But no,
that's the advantage. That's the advantage of that. It's the Red Skull.
Yeah.
Red Skull shows back.
Huge surprise. No one ever expected this, that Red Skull did not die, because we haven't seen him since First Avenger.
No.
He is the guardian of the Soul Stone that we'll get to later. But no, he is voiced by the guy from The Walking Dead that does all the impressions. They can do like a million impressions.
Oh,
he's amazing.
Marquard?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Marquard.
Nate Marquard? No, that's a UFC fighter.
But that's the guy, and he's amazing.
No, that's the villain. That's the villain from Shrek.
Right.
Yeah, Lord Marquard.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, this guy, if you have not seen it, like, he does YouTube series, and he'll just do impression
like
5-second
impressions.
Yeah, and the thing is, he doesn't even have to say a lot of lines, where it's just like, he gets the inflection
The Brad Pitt one, trying to regain a thought, is my favorite. Like, when you hear it, you're just like, that's totally Brad Pitt. They are really smart about stories they've taken and worked them into, because that Infinity Crusade, it's the third book.
Mm-hmm. It's the third one.
It's awful. It's terrible. The Infinity Gauntlet is the first one with Jim Starlin.
And that's
Ron
what most
Lim
of the story's
and
based
George
on.
George Perez. The second one is the Infinity War, and then Infinity Crusade. Don't read the Infinity Crusade. It's terrible.
That's where the goddess comes in.
Yes. She kind of looks like Adam Warlock.
Well, she is.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to say that.
Well, spoilers for a 1993 comic book.
Yeah. So this is the power gem. The purple one is the one from Guardians.
Yeah, which we notice at the beginning of this movie.
He's already got
that Thanos already has one, and it is the purple one, and you're like, oh.
Where'd you get that?
That's,
yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So they say that, so basically, Thanos getting the Tesseract, two Infinity Gems makes him the most powerful being in the universe.
Right.
So at this point, Hulk trying to go up against him, doesn't matter. He's the most powerful in the entire universe.
But he doesn't even have the second one yet.
He's halfway
there. That was before.
Okay, he's only got the, so we know
that. So the Power Stone, though, is what makes him more powerful than the Hulk easily.
Yeah, right. So we know that the gem
was the dance-off stone.
That's what it was. But that gem is on Xandar.
Was.
So we are
Should have
we
been.
Now we
Should
now
be.
Know that Xandar is gone.
Brother of Xenu.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which, like, now they have their Green Lantern movie. That's what Nova is. Nova is their version of the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And now they've just set that. I thought we would see
Nova Corps in this.
Gone. They blew them all up.
But I'm just surprised we didn't. I thought Nova Corps was going to be taken out first thing, and we just don't even see it. Yeah,
like that's the thing about this movie is like, so there's no wins. The good guys never win in this movie.
Yeah,
you think they've won every once in a while. You think they're
hold
gaining
them off for a little bit.
Okay, like but they once they every time Thanos is involved,
they score,
they lose.
I'm going to do a sports thing. They score some touchdowns. And
their defense sucks.
But they don't really count.
No, right. They don't.
They're like, yeah.
No. Oh.
But I think the problem is, I'm going to one up your sports reference.
Oh boy.
Is they're playing football and Thanos is playing rugby.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's pretty good. Yes. That's spot on. Yeah. So Heimdall has enough power strength left to port the Hulk out. Because they know that we're going to need him at some point.
That's
Let's
cool.
Get
he can just open
there.
The Bifrost without his sword or anything.
He had
now.
A sword.
Did he have a sword in his? Yeah. Okay,
I think it was the one that went through him.
It was stuck inside of him.
Yeah.
Okay,
it was still there.
But that's amazing. Yeah. He's able to summon the Bifrost with a sword in his chest and be like, "Let's open this up."
So we lose Heimdall as well.
Yeah,
He's the first one to go.
First 5 minutes, two. I mean, I know Heimdall's not as big as Loki,
but
they
did in Ragnarok.
They killed
all three of the Warriors Three without them saying a word.
Yeah.
They kill Sif. They didn't.
They Zack Snydered it.
They did.
No,
Zack Snyder
Sif
it.
Was gone.
Did they kill Sif?
Sif is not there.
No.
Okay, so they've got Jamie King. Ready. Is that her name? Jamie King. No.
Alexander.
Jamie Alexander.
So they've got her waiting. Then.
Yeah.
So we've got
she's on Blind Spot.
Yeah.
I think it got canceled.
Well, she was.
That's why she wasn't in.
Right.
She's not there.
Yeah. Right. And then Loki makes his move, and in a scene that is, I mean, it's not fun. Like Thanos grabs him by the throat. And just chokes him out and then snaps his neck.
He gives Thor a look like, you know what?
We're good.
And Thor sees his little tiny dagger appear.
While he's kneeling down.
It's like, you know, that's not going to reach.
Yeah.
This guy's pretty big. But anyway, he looks at him like, I got this, brother.
Right. Right. In typical Loki fashion, and yeah. He doesn't have it.
Like, he does make a hero move.
He does. It's exactly what it was.
And it doesn't work.
It does not work. And we've lost two
and
so
we see,
far.
And we see Loki die again. But
this one looks pretty real.
Yeah, this time. Not like Loki looks pretty distressed.
I don't think they can walk this one back.
Well,
okay.
It's comic book movie. They can always walk him back.
We'll get
they
to, we'll get
back,
to my
but
theory
he looks pretty
at the
distressed.
End.
I'm old enough to remember the mantra in comic book shops of anybody can come back but except Bucky.
Oh, yeah. And Uncle Ben.
And then Bucky came back.
And then
back.
Bucky came back.
So, yeah, Heimdall gets one last
Heimdall
little,
gets this Hulk out of there, sends him back to Earth, who now.
That does not please Thanos.
No. It does not. And then he skewers Heimdall, kills Loki, and then blows up the ship. And then
roll credits.
Right. And it's just like, well, what now? This is the most Empire Strikes Back Marvel movie. This is the most Empire Strikes Back movie
since Empire Strikes Back.
I've never, yeah, when I got out of it the first time, I'm like, this, I've never seen a movie end like Empire as much as this since Empire.
Me and my buddy Ethan saw it, and like, we sat, like, even after the credits, we just sat there and we're just like, well, what now?
Yeah, they had to buy the rights to Star Wars just so so they wouldn't get sued.
Right?
Yeah,
Lucasfilm was like, hey, wait a minute. So, yeah, so now we go to Earth, and it's Tony Stark and Pepper Potts, who, like, as I'm watching these movies, they never break up. Like, there's no reference to of them. Like, I thought that she disappears
Civil
for
War.
A minute, but don't they bring him?
They run a break. Yeah. They brought her back in
for
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, that's what it was. Okay.
Which is the thing that you need to see. I think it's clever that Marvel kind of made Spider-Man not essential viewing.
Yeah, they made it its own thing, except for the very end.
For this whole, like, battle.
Yeah, you
it's
didn't
like,
need to see
because
Homecoming.
They had Spider-Man in Civil War.
Right.
So if you only saw him in Civil War in this, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, good enough. Yeah.
There's
if
no
you
plot.
Saw, yeah, like, there's really nothing other than Pepper Potts is back.
Right.
But.
And they, which, added, and they gave Spidey a
one
power.
Of the things I love about how they did this, and it's so clever, is, like, this is the, this is what, if you've never read a comic book, this is what reading comic books
is. This is exactly.
You're going to get this giant crossover event, and there's going to be books that you don't read, and
right.
You're just going to have to either
accept it.
You're either going to have to shell out the money and go pick them up, or you're just going to have to deal with, like, whatever little exposition they give you, the little asterisks that takes you to the bottom.
Yes,
go read Amazing Spider-Man 272.
Yeah,
right.
You know, things like that. But yeah, like, that's, this is.
I like how in the old comic books they say, go read blah, 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 1-6 on sale now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Blatant advertisement.
Yeah. It's funny. Like,
I will also say, though, that it was helpful if you were reading them in real time to know that this isn't a back issue I can't find.
Yeah. Right.
It's on the rack.
I can
still
go grab it.
It's not going to be a $15 book. It's going to be
That's true.
You know, 25 cents.
I just thought it was funny when sometimes they'd be on sale now.
It's even better when you, if you go back and read some of, like, the older ones, like in the corner, they say continued after the next page. Because, like, when you turn the page, it's a double page spread of ads.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you just, like, I'll just pinch those together. Don't read the ads. Perfect.
It was like a DVR for comic books.
It really was. Yeah, yeah, right.
My favorite is the pricing on the comic books is when it starts saying only.
Only.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That means, like, you got three issues and it's going up.
Yeah. Right.
That's their way of saying, like, enjoy this while it lasts.
I feel like there's a Superman book where it said still only.
Right.
75 cents.
And then it's like, bloop,
a dollar.
Clock is ticking.
Dang it. $3.99. That's what it is now.
Yeah.
We should also mention the Children of Thanos. They were the ones that were introduced in Infinity, the 2013 series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you're wondering where these characters came from, because they're not in any other MCU films, right?
No, this is their first appearance.
And so it's
this.
Like, you know, Marvel's so good about character building and all that, but these characters were kind of just hitting the ground running, and so they were known as the Black Order in Infinity.
So six-issue mini.
They needed a road crew to,
you know,
kind of keep the... They had a lot of places to go.
Yes.
Right.
So they're like, you know what? Let's get those guys.
Instead of having Thanos come to all, you know, Scotland or wherever, let's just have two go there. It's fine.
The main child of Thanos is Ebony Maw,
mm-hmm.
who's the main one that talks for all of them. Mm-hmm. You have Proxima Midnight, who is the blue one.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Corvus Glaive, which is the one that
That's
looks like Green
one.
Goblin.
Oh, right, right.
What's he's actually the leader in the comics. He's, like, one of the main ones. He's Thanos' right-hand man, and they don't even give him speaking role in this one,
I think the design for Ebony Maw was cooler than...
Yeah. Oh, he's very cool. It's just funny that Corvus Glaive is the one that Thanos sends to go do all his bidding,
right.
But in the movie, he's just kind of like, oh, I didn't know Green Goblin was in this.
And then there's Lenny.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So this character was actually Black Dwarf in the comics,
right.
But in this one they call him Cole Obsidian, which was the name of the Black Order. So it's really strange. Yeah. They call them the Children of Thanos, but they're called the Cole Obsidian, which means Black Death in the comics. But then they called this character Cole Obsidian.
Right. So there's also another character that they don't introduce at all,
right.
Who is Thane, who was like the good guy that I thought was going to show up. Like I was like, okay, he's the one that's going to set all this right. No. I was wrong.
But the one that they don't show is Supergiant. So there's five Black
Orders.
You think
the one big guy would be the Supergiant, but apparently.
No, so they left out Supergiant because we didn't need five Children of Thanos right. And all these other characters. No.
We've got six, seven Children of Thanos in this movie. Well, then we flash to Earth, and it's Tony and Pepper, and they're talking about kids, which I was just like,
Jogging in the park.
No, we're talking about a wedding. We're talking about kids. Like,
that never ends well.
You're going to die.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's, I've seen enough of these movies that either she's going to die or you're going to die.
Yeah.
I retire in a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, Pepper.
My pension's almost up.
My money was on Pepper.
My money was on him.
My money was on Iron Man or Cap or both.
Well, I did not think they were going to kill Cap.
True.
Yeah.
I thought Cap was good to go.
We know he's good to go because he's in the next one.
Yeah.
Right. I think he's going to be Nick Fury.
Well, we know he's good to go in this movie.
But
going into it, though, I was like, Iron Man or Cap or both.
Iron Man.
Like, they do the head switch.
Definitely thinking Iron Man.
Yeah.
But, I feel like he just signed a new deal.
No, he's done.
I don't think he is. I think Chris Evans has a new deal.
He said he's done.
Nope. All right. He's done after this, and that's why everyone thought they were going to kill him off.
Well, they're going to.
Yeah, and in this movie they do the double head fake because everyone thought it was Cap, and then everyone's like, "Oh my God, they did this!" And we're like, "Oh,
yeah,
okay."
Yeah. But yeah, they're setting up, they're
jogging, they're doing the thing,
kids wedding,
yeah. Right? Mm. And then do you see the Rainbow Bridge overhead? Because
we see Hulk crash through the distance,
Sanctum Sanctorum
and this was Silver Surfer in the comic.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they do this. So Thanos' original idea in the comics is that he is brought back to life by Death, the woman that he has always lusted after, and she says, "Let's take him out. Take them all out, and this is what you have to do." And he was like, "Okay, you got it." Where in this one he's more like Ra's al Ghul, where he's just like, "You're overpopulated. Like, we need to get rid of some
thin the herd.
I will say I love Thanos' motivation in this movie. Yeah. They give him a backstory. They give him motivation. He's not mustache twirling villain. I will say this is my favorite villain in the entire MCU because he has motivation and he thinks he's the good guy. Like, yeah, this is a very well developed
villain. I do take issue with them trying to make him sympathetic at one point where it's just like, I don't feel bad for you.
That's the best villain that you can be like, oh, he's kind of got a point. Like, it's awful, but oh.
I mean, when he kills his own daughter,
that's to save a universe.
You don't have—they're not teenagers yet.
That's
so
true.
But
dial back the judging,
right? I would say yes, because he's killing his own daughter to save what he thinks is save the universe. Yes, that's a good motivation. That's a conflict.
I mean, we've talked about this before. You can't question that motivation and then still. Right. I mean, I know you're not super religious, but that's the whole premise of Christianity.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I mean.
There's a reason I left.
He's a villain, but to himself, and we've talked about this before, is the best villains are the ones that don't believe in their own path is villainy.
Everybody's the hero of their own story.
Right.
Hitler thought he had the right idea.
He didn't
twirl his mustache either because it was so tiny.
Yeah.
He just pulled on it.
That's why he was yelling all the time.
I mean, what do you guys think? Is this the best villain that we've seen in the MCU?
I still like Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton's the best.
Oh, okay. Without Homecoming, which is kind of a weird outlier.
Michael Keaton is like the lowest level.
Too.
He's like the smallest, most compact,
right?
You know, Queens-based villain.
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic.
Killmonger's really good.
Zemo's my second
favorite
because he is completely human and just he has motivation and he's smart.
We've been saying, you know, it's so long that we would always say that, you know, oh, they've got a villain problem, and Marvel hasn't had a villain problem for a few movies.
I think they fixed it. Yeah. Like Red Skull was the one where I was like, how do you you can't kill the Red Skull, and then in this one you're just like, oh,
well, you didn't.
Well, so. Perfect.
But yeah, I know the last movies, every time I've gone, oh, that villain's amazing.
Since good.
With yeah. Zemo, I'm like, that was incredible and refreshing. Great. And then I like Doctor Strange, too. I like how they did something different with it, where it wasn't just battling this. You know, it was just it's such an otherworldly entity.
Well, they stopped killing them. They were killing their villains every single
That's just
movie.
Silly. Yeah.
You know, and granted, they were killing the villains where it's just like, okay, Ironmonger. You don't really need that character. Like, so they weren't like, you know, we have Doctor Doom in this movie. We're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Like, so, but they were.
But like with Red Skull, it's
B
like.
B or D level villains were just like, okay. But yeah, like when they, Red Skull, like you can't
kill Red Skull.
That's his Lex Luthor. Like, what do you, you know,
second movie or whatever. Like, what?
I mean, that was the thing, like the original Tim Burton's Batman when they killed the Joker. It was like, oh.
But what now?
Right.
Like, I don't sure. That's not how this works.
Nah.
Oh, and you're going to kill the Penguin in the second one? All right.
They used to always do it in the movies. Well, because also you have to think that they were not setting up for franchises like this. So you get a villain, and Batman has to take him out. He wins. You get the Penguin, he has to take him out. He wins.
Right.
Like, you're not going to see
Penguin. But they're already at
That's one and two. They're not at eight or nine.
Right.
You know,
But they're already at two. Like, we've already made a two.
Right. But that
we're
ended.
We're going to three.
Right.
Why would we kill the villain in two?
Because they movies were not made to have
but
nine,
they,
like 10
it
or
wasn't,
18. It wasn't a thing.
It wasn't the same DC, apparently, back
and
then.
They would think the people.
But apparently it was, because they're just killing
villains.
They
didn't kill Lex Luthor?
That's true, they didn't.
Audiences would feel cheated if they got to the end of that movie and like, well, he didn't win. Like,
right.
I think that gave them the win. The big W was, I beat these villains. Because that was the mindset back then.
And I dropped him off
a good
a
guy,
roof.
Bad guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, technically the gargoyle won.
Yeah.
But
he lashed him to the gargoyle. Batman lashed him to the gargoyle.
His jump rope won.
And those sculptors did shoddy work.
Well, it is Gotham City. Like, it's very possible. So then we jump to the Sanctum Sanctorum, and we're introduced to Strange and Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Great to see them back. Mm-hmm. Also, he needs to stop with the American accent.
It's
not good.
It's spotty.
It is, yeah. Like, he over enunciates everything.
I thought it's really good. I think there's
an ebb and flow to it.
Maybe.
And I think there's certain words that it's glaring. And there's certain, there's a couple times where I'm like, ooh. But then I got pissed.
The way he talks, I just see him as the mystic, you know, Doctor Strange. Like, he's very serious in his delivery. Like, I don't know. For me, it fits the character, whatever he's doing with that.
Yeah,
accent.
I just let him do the British thing.
But they're able to get humor into this. And, you know, this is one of the moments where you're like...
Naturally.
Yeah.
This is one of my number one favorite things about this movie, because it's... I enjoyed Thor Ragnarok, but I'm on the record of saying I think it was a little much at times, too much improvisation. And so in this movie, there's a ton of humor, but no one delivers it with a smile. It's
right.
all just offhand remarks.
Yeah.
It's all that darker kind of, you know, real humor that, like, it is just a funny situation, so they're saying it seriously, and then you laugh at it. And I love that, because they're all... If you watch their delivery, it's all just, like, someone saying something seriously, but it's funny.
Yeah,
because
Wong wants a sandwich.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They don't crack a smile once. He's like, oh, well, you know, I'll tell the guys down at the deli that. That's funny, but Doctor Strange isn't like, oh, I'll tell the guys down at the deli that. So that's the difference between, I think, if the humor is written well, you don't have to yuck it up. It's like the writing is smart. It speaks for itself.
This is probably one of the, like, the Russo brothers, if they hadn't already cemented themselves with Feige, this is it. Like, these are your guys.
I think they did with Civil War.
So I think they did.
Well, that's
Winter
what got
Soldier.
Them all. This
no, Winter Soldier.
I'm sorry, I meant Winter Soldier.
Yeah, Winter Soldier.
That was
the
first one. I was like, whoa.
And Civil War was the test for Avengers.
Yes,
and they handled that better than an Avengers.
Civil
movie.
War was better than Ultron.
Yeah,
yes,
by far. So
it's weird. Like, so I rewatched Ultron, and I don't. It wasn't bad.
No, it's not bad.
But it was definitely.
And your stance on Iron Man 2 now that you've watched them all in its entirety.
It's not as bad as I remember.
I told you.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's definitely a movie that's
a
in place
point.
To set up the next movie.
Yes.
Or the next few movies.
It's definitely a weak point. And Thor 2 is also a weak point.
Also a weak point. But,
not bad.
Another one that where you're like.
Nah, that's terrible.
Like I said, the worst Marvel movie is better than almost all of the DC movies.
There's one.
Yeah, I would agree.
There's one DC movie that's good.
Yes.
Like, everything else is garbage.
Yes.
And
Wonder
we'll
Woman.
See what happens. Yeah. No, yeah. Batman versus Superman. Of course,
like, I'll take
Wonder
Dark
Woman.
World over almost all of the DC movies.
Yeah, absolutely I would. Definitely.
I'll still say Man of Steel is the second best, though. I mean, I know you're grading on a curve, but I don't think Man of Steel is awful. I think that it's
75% of a good movie.
There you go. I mean, it's not that bad, but
unfortunately, that other 25% is awful.
Yeah.
Does not help it at all.
I'm just going to hold you up right here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just going to hold my hand out.
You can do that, and they really screwed
screwed the pooch.
They did.
And that pooch was crypto.
Oh, boy.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Because it's bestiality and incest, right?
And also, he's an alien. Yeah. So, you know, because they have aliens that look like normal dogs on Krypton.
So, I don't even know how to wrap my head around if that's offensive or not.
I'm pretty sure.
Should I shake the maraca?
Yeah.
I'll look at it.
Or is that judgy? Yeah. Am I judging? Like,
only if Kryptonians are listening, I guess. I mean...
No, they're all gone. It's fine. Well, there's two. So Stark shows up, and I do, man... This is the best that armor has ever looked. Like, that armor was...
Nanobot armor?
Tight!
Yeah. Where you have Under Armour that turns into Iron Man suit?
It's Extremis.
Yeah.
What's that?
From Iron Man 3.
Technology.
Where that comes from.
But he says it's nanobot.
Yeah, it's nanobots. Cool. Yeah. But that's out of the Mad Fraction run, where it's not like, come to me, my suit.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm always wearing it. Like, it's cool.
Those pulsar blasters that come off his shoulders?
It was amazing.
That is awesome.
But we got to... also see like something like when we saw Doctor Strange, I was like, oh man, I can't wait till these guys meet.
Yep.
Because they're so almost identical.
Almost. Well, it's Sherlock versus Sherlock.
So close.
The fact that we didn't get a Sherlock kind of makes me a little angry.
I think that might have been
a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
Right on.
But he does call him a douchebag when
he does.
That was fantastic. Yeah.
So I'm protecting your universe, douchebag.
Yeah.
That's great. Again, delivered with a completely serious face.
Yeah, it was tough because there's so many good lines that people are laughing, and I'm missing the lines that are like coming after that.
Yeah.
So we see the donuts
mm-hmm.
come, you know, enter the atmosphere, and it's eating away at, they don't really say what, in the middle of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So Wong.
Bleecker Street.
That's, Wong, Strange, and Iron Man suit up, and they take on the black one of the... I don't remember which one this is.
It's Ebony and Black Dwarf.
He's
the big guy.
He's just kind of like, look, just give up. Give me the time stone. They're just like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, in a good fight scene where they, and then we've got Peter, for the first time, we see a spider sense go off on a school bus going... He looks out, he sees the giant donut, and we see...
what's his name to make a...
Ned, where he's like, I need you to cause a distraction.
There's what a great...
And he, looks over and causes a massive distraction.
We're all gonna die! And they all go look at the other side of the bus. So great.
And it was great, and he jumps out the window.
He doesn't even hesitate, Ned.
Yeah.
He goes right over. We're all gonna die, spaceship!
I think he saw it, and...
He also saw that, but it was an easy diversion to cause.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so now we've got Spidey and the other three join the fight. Spidey ends up
and Bruce.
He's having an impotence.
He's
having an impotence problem because the Hulk's just like, nope.
I'm
not coming out.
I will say I love the whole dialogue. I mean, this is again a great comedic beat between Iron Man and Bruce.
Yeah.
When he says,
come
when
on,
he's trying
go.
To change, and he says, "Don't, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards."
Yeah,
I mean, I was busting out laughing.
Yeah.
That is so good. And so in the rest of the time, Spider-Man shows up, and he's like, hey, what are we doing? And Stark's like, well, a wizard showed up from outer space. And
like
he's trying
a wizard from Harry Potter?
It's like, oh, the writing is so good in this movie.
And of course, Peter is, doing the Peter thing.
Yeah.
I do like. Has ever seen that old movie Aliens? He's like, oh, shut up!
Great
kid. He refers one more pop culture.
Yeah, it's great.
I also love the knighting of him. Yeah, you're an Avenger now.
Yeah,
and just kind of stands up straighter and So they get onto the ship, and then Peter is on the ship and realizes he started to lose consciousness, and this is where we see the Iron Spider.
Oh yeah, because Doctor Strange has been abducted. Yeah.
Yes.
So the whole thing is he's got the Eye of Agamotto, but it has a spell on it,
and
so they can't take it.
And if you kill the person who created the spell,
it's almost impossible
to get
it out.
Right.
And so Ebony Maw ends up just strapping him with rebar to a piece of ground and cutting the ground out and
trying to beam that up.
Right.
And they have a big chase scene, but eventually he gets knocked out. And
the cape has a great great part in this whole thing.
Oh, the cape's great in the whole movie. Yeah, but so Peter webs Strange to try to keep him down, and then the Ebony Maw takes the street lamp that he's attached to and just gets rid of it, and he goes, "They're beaming me up, Mr. Stark."
And then so he's on. He ends up attached to the side of the ship, and they're just like, he's like, "Kid, you got to let go." And he was like, "No, I'm good." And then he falls off because he's lost consciousness. Yep. And this is where he gets the Iron Spider suit. Like Stark sends him the thing. And it's a little bit different looking than the comic book counterpart.
It's not red and gold like
Iron
Man. But
like that's what it was.
It's an awesome design.
Yeah, it's cool
metallic.
Design.
It's cool. It's got the four arms.
Which you don't see until a little bit later. But yeah, it's got like a little pack on the back that has everything.
It's cool.
So then do we go flash to the Guardians?
Yeah, space.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, we're in space.
So we've got our
Love
Guardians.
It. You hear like a pop culture music reference in outer space.
Rubber Band Man right. by the Spinners. Yes.
Yep. Which was the first song that James Gunn ever heard on the radio given to him by his father.
Well, there we go.
And that's where he got the idea that pop culture, like music, can influence someone in their life. So that's where he got
it
the
is interesting
Peter's
that, like as soon as you hear that, you're just like, oh, well, they're the Guardians.
And
like,
the Guardians are, you know, we see that they're in a good place.
Everything's good.
Except for Groot's little, you know,
he's still a teenager. He's the Groot that we saw at the end of Guardians 2. Oh, man, so
Groot
good.
Is so worthless Whoa. Until the end. I'm
totally fine with that. Like, he's an angry kid, and then he becomes the Groot that we need at the very end.
Terrible parenting, though, by Star-Lord. Like, he threatens to take the game away and never does. I would have crushed that game in 3 seconds.
Do you think that Star-Lord is the prime example of good parenting?
I'm just saying, though, he's like threatening me. He's like, I'm gonna take that game away, and no one ever takes it. I'm like, someone take that damn game away from this group,
from the tree the tree alien. Good luck. So they're going back and forth, and you know, Drax is there, and Groot and Rocket, and we've got our, you know,
can we say Drax is like one of the joke MVPs of this movie?
He was MVP of the Guardians movies.
When they pick up Thor, who lands on their windshield, and Rocky goes, wipers, get this off. But he's floating through space, and they rescue him, and Star-Lord says, who's this dude?
Who's this guy?
Drax says, that is no dude. You are a dude. This is a man.
This is a man.
And then he goes, it's like a pirate had a baby with an angel. Like, the lines. And James Gunn wrote all the Guardians parts.
That makes complete sense.
That was a smart move for
him. Watching it, I'm like, they kept the tone the same. And then it came out, Batista said that James Gunn wrote all their lines.
That dude owes his career to James Gunn.
Oh, my gosh.
So Thor wakes up, and of course, he is more the Thor from Ragnarok.
Sure.
A lot of levity. Star-Lord is super intimidated by Thor because he's immediately hitting on Gamora.
I wouldn't say a lot of levity. He's very distraught, but he's also delivering those offhand.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's funny,
he's not letting on how hurt he is until we get to the scene with him and Rocket. And then you're just like, oh, he's messed up.
Yeah. He's another one great at comedy. We saw it in Ragnarok. Uh-huh. We saw it in the Ghostbusters reboot. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris Hemsworth is awesome at delivering
these
lines.
Yeah, he's very funny. He has very good timing.
Mm-hmm. Him and Star-Lord finally meeting, I mean, the interaction between these two.
It was perfect.
Yeah. Amazing.
Like, it was this, the chemistry between everybody is exactly where it needed to be.
Yeah, they don't miss an opportunity when characters kind of clash, you know, or come together for the first time. They don't miss, that's not lost on them.
Yeah. No.
They're like, you know what? We got to make something a little bit special about this little moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Peter's.
Because this movie is gonna bum people out.
Yeah,
that's true
for sure. I do like
if you believe that it's actually over.
It's not over.
Well, of course it's.
Well,
over.
No one.
Or you don't
that,
know
right.
the movies that are planned.
I was gonna say we've got a string.
Like,
yeah.
Oh,
we've
got
some more sequels that are coming.
But there are people who are like, oh, I can't believe it.
I will say their timing is like for this movie is interesting, right? So, Ant-Man and Wasp is pre this movie.
I have not seen that confirmed,
but I've been wondering. It is a prequel to, like, it takes place before this.
Okay.
And then Captain Marvel takes place in
obviously
the 90s.
Way before this.
So it's like.
Pretty sure we know how that's going to end now.
Which, Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing moves the ball forward chronologically.
Not at
all. Until four. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think it's very smart. Like, that's some forward thinking.
It's kind of like they're still putting movies out, but it's also like the whole cinematic universe is kind of holding its breath and taking a breath.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
This is a two-parter, and part two is the next continuation of this story.
But also, like, Ant-Man and Wasp is going to be that breath where it's just like, okay, we're going to get a little rom-com heist movie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But that movie will end up.
I assume
pointing to this movie.
Catching up to
like,
the movie?
It, well, I, and when I say pointing, it's like it'll set up why or how they will appear in that next movie.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Same thing with Captain Marvel.
Or don't appear.
Or don't appear.
We don't know.
But I mean, it's one of those things.
I would
like
to think that Ant-Man and Wasp were somewhere very small. And if they show a scene where they were actually somewhere and then got away.
Yeah.
That could be.
You know what I mean? But how funny would that be?
There is no getting away. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. Is there is no getting
away.
Yeah,
we find that out.
Well, it depends if they go to a different dimension or something.
That is true.
Because if they're in the different dimension,
the quantum realm.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
I would love if they show. I just think the humor and the writers are smart enough to show them in this whole ordeal and getting away.
Yeah.
And we didn't know they were there the whole time.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty funny.
And we get a really good scene. This is the first interaction between Star-Lord and Gamora where it's like, oh, they're a couple. Like, this is a, because they hint at it in the first one. They hint at it again in the second one.
The second one's where they really
say the unspoken Sam and Diane.
Right, the unspoken, right. Right. And in this one, it's just like, okay, like it's not unspoken anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Like it is very spoken. Mm-hmm. Where she kind of says, she's like, look, if it comes down, if he gets me, you have to kill me.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what? No. You're crazy pants. Like, that's not going to happen.
She tells him he can destroy the...
Kill everyone. He will destroy
half the universe in a snap.
Right.
But this is where they split up. So they have two different places then they need to go. So Thor doesn't have his hammer. Right. It was broken by his sister in the last movie. So he has to get a new weapon. And so he wants to forge a new hammer. And that's when they go to the...
Space Home Depot.
Yeah, exactly. What's it called? Vin...
And it was like...
Right. Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
He goes to see...
Peter Dinklage.
The
dwarf. But anyway, so...
a great usage. Yeah,
fantastic.
That was awesome.
Did everyone's theater crack up?
Of course.
I mean, because you know his stature, but he's the biggest person in the room.
And, like, I knew he was in it, but I was like, I have no idea where he's going to show up.
Damn it, boy.
So Thor needs to go get a new weapon, but they're like, well, we know that Thanos' next step will be to go to nowhere and get the reality stone. And so they decide to split up. Thor tries to steal their escape pod. He's guessing birthdays and things. And eventually...
Why isn't this working?
Yeah, and eventually he gets Rocket, who he calls the Rabbit, the entire movie.
He gets Rocket and Groot.
Yeah, so he says, would you like to accompany me on my quest? And Rocket wants to, because he's heard about the weapons they make there.
Right, it's the greatest weapon maker of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
They're huge. He's like, yeah, let's go.
So
this is going to be great.
So Thor, Rocket, and Groot go in the escape pod, and the morons, Drax, Gamora,
and Star-Lord.
Star-Lord go to nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
So we get to nowhere.
Oh, and Mantis. Sorry, Mantis.
Oh, of course, Mantis.
And I also love this storyline structure, because again, I mean, this is...
It's a comic book.
This is how a comic book would work, right? Yeah. Like, this is what's going on in the Thor comic book and the Guardians of the Galaxy comic book, while your actual crossover event comic book is doing all this other stuff.
Right, you're reading Infinity Gauntlet, and then it says, to see Thor's and Rocket's story, pick up Infinity Gauntlet, Thor, and Rocket.
Yeah.
I think the editing is masterful. This is exactly how you read the comics, like you said, and it goes back and forth, and that's what you do. You read the issue of Avengers, then you read New Avengers, then you read Infinity.
It's really smart.
And I think it kept me on the edge of my seat. Like this was nonstop once it started. Not a lot of lulls.
There are no lulls. I don't think there's a single lull. I take that back. When they get to Wakanda, it hits a lull. But I say lull as much as
you're
like,
a racist,
right? That's why. But because nobody's punching anybody.
Oddly, like, Wakanda with Black Panther being so good is the slowest part in this movie. I think they really underutilized it.
I think once they got the ball rolling. Because, I mean,
they had to have a moment of exposition to kind of talk about what the hell they were going to do with Vision.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, no. They're like, whoa, okay, Shuri.
There's one, like, they say, like, I know one person that could do this.
Right.
So the next scene is Scotland.
Okay. So I guess we should say that while Banner is in New York, he picks up the phone that, while Stark is talking to Strange, they're like, there's one guy that could find Vision. And he's like, who? He's like, Cap.
Steve Rogers.
Cap could do it. And they were just like, and Bruce, who's been gone this entire time, was like, call him. What are you waiting for? And he was just like, well, you've been gone a while. We had a little bit of a thing. But yeah, like at the end of Civil War, he kind of gives him, you know, I think that's a post-credit sequence where he's just like, look, man, you need me. You call me and I'll come running. And he has yet to call him. Mm-hmm. And then we get sexy Cap.
Ooh-wee.
Dreamy Captain America with the long hair and the beard.
That is an awesome look for Cap. The suit, all black, like black on black and everything.
I do like that he's taken out
cool. like a Spinal Tap album cover.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's awesome. So he's taken out the white of the star is gone.
This is the coolest look.
The red and white on the like ab piece is gone.
Yeah.
But it looks awesome. It looks more like the, I guess it's the Avengers 3 suit or Cap Civil War suit than the Winter Soldier suit.
I mean, it's definitely closer. Yeah, the blue is, if it's blue, it's very muted. It's like, it looks almost black. It's either dark blue
it's interesting
or black.
That we know.
It's not black. It's very dark blue.
They did reshoots. Well, not reshoots.
So it's blue on black like Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Oh, there you go.
I love that song. That's a great song.
I don't like Kenny Wayne Shepherd, but
that's really
a great song.
Yeah, no, it's a great song. It's interesting because there were set photos of him in the Avengers 1 gear. Mm. So we know.
Interesting.
There is a time jump somewhere.
Yeah.
We don't know what it's. That's the thing. Is
that's
like,
probably for the next movie.
Yes, but
and
also
there's a lot of scenes that were a
that
little
trailer,
misleading.
That trailer of all of the of
all
Cap's
them running?
Crew running at whatever.
Never in the movie.
Not in the movie.
You get a similar one in Wakanda, but that scene is never in the movie.
Nope.
In the trailer, Hulk is in the movie.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Hulk is in the first 5 minutes of the movie. You never see him again.
So, brilliant marketing.
That was a good little bait.
Unless
and switch
we
there.
See that in the next movie,
right?
Maybe,
which is possible,
but I think that was to show like for you to think Hulk was actually in the movie,
right? So,
Scotland.
We jump to Scotland, and it's Paul Bettany who looks like Paul Bettany, like he's not wearing the Vision makeup. He looks like a human being. It's him in.
This is where I peed.
Is that right?
Yeah,
it's a little slow.
Did you
too.
Miss the appearance? Did you come back?
No,
in time
it doesn't take that long to pee. This is like a 10-minute scene
of them just walking and then the fight.
No, they're in the bedroom for like 5 minutes first, like talking and I only feel you. I mean, if you hadn't peed during this,
did you come back during the fight or were they still? I think it came back right at the very end of the fight.
Damn it!
What did I miss?
The biggest pop of the night was him. Was Cap?
Was Cap in the shadows?
In the shadows.
You didn't see Cap walk out of the shadows?
No, I think I saw that.
Oh, okay, because like I said, this is a very long sequence.
That was one of the big moments.
Oh, man, that was
moments.
Loud.
But this is setting up. This is all foreshadowing. So Vision.
That was not the biggest reaction.
Oh, really?
In my theater.
What did you?
Well, you were at the press screening, mm-hmm. too, right? Yeah. And I was surprised because I was at a press screening, so they're all jaded bastards. And and the biggest reaction was when Thor finally shows up
the Stormbreaker.
As Thor.
Yeah.
Right.
MVP.
Yeah. That was the crowd went crazy.
That was the MVP moment.
Yeah.
Thor is awesome.
With the Stormbreaker.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But so this scene is setting up for what we're going to see at the end of the movie, though, you know, spoilers. But Wanda and Vision are talking and he's like, you know, this just isn't working. We're running out of time. And you know, we keep trying to meet up, but we have to go and we have different stuff going on.
Well, we know that he is like he's constantly switching off his transponder so nobody can track him.
Yeah, they're
so
trying to get this time together, but he's just like, this is just not working. And then he keeps pointing to the stone in his head, and she's like, is that bothering you? And she uses her powers to kind of like analyze it, and he says, you can never hurt me, all I feel is you.
Right.
And that's going to come back in the end.
Yes.
But then they're walking to drop Vision off at the train station, or I guess Wanda's going to the train.
Wanda's
so
going
like,
to the
why
train.
Why would Vision need to take a train?
No, Wanda's going.
They're walking.
And they see the attack on New York, and then they are jumped by Corvus Glaive and the girl.
The girl.
And the
woman.
They are
Proxima Midnight.
Proxima Midnight. They are quickly taking them out, and then all of a sudden,
he gets stabbed by Corvus Glaive with his. No.
They start to yank on the stone.
Right.
And then she gets him away.
Hey, careful. This is a family movie.
She gets him away.
But they're attacked from behind.
He
stabs Corvus Glaive stabs Vision with the scepter through
the
body.
But I mean, the bad guys are attacked from behind.
Yes,
and in the shadows,
and she chucks
that's
one of
right,
her things,
that's right. And he catches it.
And we see the shadowy character catch it
and walks out.
And he walks out.
Cap.
And you're like,
hell's yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get Falcon and Black Widow show up.
Yeah.
Cap's team, basically.
Yeah.
And they fight him off, and you think that they've killed Corvus Glaive.
So he does the same thing to him as he sticks him,
right,
Corvus Glaive,
right,
through the side or chest with his,
so
and then they retreat. Not to gloss over, but I think the action scenes are great in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Russos
fantastic.
Do a really good job with the action.
Yeah.
This fight is awesome.
They're pulled, this fight in
the one
Scotland,
we just saw
yeah.
is awesome.
They pull back enough, like it's chaotic enough, but it's also pulled back because you can see Chris Nolan did those fight sequences in Batman. It's weird that I will say that I don't think Nolan knows how to film.
Not in Begins. That was one of
the
big
super chaotic
criticisms. And then he got better.
Yeah.
By pulling the camera back
and but in Begins it was too, it was so, the camera was so close to the action, it was like hard to see what was happening.
Exactly.
So the next scene is the Gamora flashback. It just kind of ends, and it goes to this flashback scene, and we see Thanos conquering Gamora's home planet.
Yeah.
And Gamora's a child. And
right.
It's interesting. So Thanos is, you know, whoever they are, I don't know if it, which child of Thanos or if it's a different guy, but he's saying to everybody, they say, choose a side or die. So they think that you're supposed to think they're setting up to choose a side, like be with Thanos or die.
Right.
But really, they are literally splitting the planet into two halves. They all choose a side.
They kill them all.
And he distracts Gamora with a little knife thing.
He takes Gamora away from her mother. Yeah. And he's just like, and this is a weird thing. Like he shields her from seeing all of her people die. He's like, no, don't look at that. Look at this. And like talking about the balance of
but
the
knife.
But
he's also perfectly explaining what he's doing, the balance. He's trying to keep balance in the universe. And so that's why he's killing. So you see her balancing this knife, and behind her is him balancing the universe.
Right.
I mean, the writing and his motivation, again, I thought Thanos being a full CG looking, you know, purple huge guy was gonna be ridiculous.
Oh,
he's amazing! Like the CG looks great.
When you get a dude like Josh Brolin, to do the, I'm assuming he did the
motion capture,
and the gravitas of his voice and the delivery of the lines, like that.
It still could have not worked.
Well, as much as we bag on Ultron, like Ultron was like James Spader, was great, as Ultron.
But I don't know. What did you guys think of Thanos compared to your expectations? I mean, I think was great.
One of the things I don't tend to read the cosmic characters because they're so powerful. It's boring to me.
And so there's too many ways to have a Deus Ex Machina moment,
right?
Because there are no like tangible
rules
or stakes even.
Right. They're
like, well, yeah, but they could just say, well, this is a race of people who could do this.
Right.
It's like, well, all right.
And I don't tend to read those. They don't tend to interest me. And so I've never, when they were like, oh, we're building towards Thanos, I was always kind of like, I don't care.
Infinity Gauntlet is really the
only. It made me feel like they couldn't build towards Doctor. It was like, well, because you can't do Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Now they can.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But at the time, they couldn't.
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So it was
for sure.
Thanos was like, well, all right.
So to bring in cosmic characters and godlike characters, Thor, Guardians,
right,
and now Thanos, the things that I don't like.
Right.
And I still don't think I'd like the comics. I think the comics would still suffer from the same thing. Like, I think that there are individual stories
you
could tell. But I don't think that they could tell them consistently enough that I would want to pick up every issue of Guardians.
It would be the Annihilation storyline, the Annihilation Conquest, Realm of Kings, and War of Kings is the cosmic stuff that I read.
Yeah.
And it's all these characters. Like, it's the Guardians from the movie. It's Nova. It's, you know, characters like that that are, like, the main players in those books. Yeah. But it reads like a Guardians movie would.
Yeah. Like, so have they kind of like retooled Guardians to be?
No, this is so. This team is based on an older version of this team. So not the original versions that we see in Guardians 2. The Stallone team,
right,
is the original. Are the original Guardians? The team from the James Gunn movies were based on the book by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning from like 2003.
Okay.
And that is this team.
And it had that tone?
It did.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the Guardians movie is very, like, if you see the end of those end credits, it says special thanks to Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning.
Gotcha.
Because they give it this tone, and then James Gunn just ran with it.
Right.
Yeah. So
we, after the flashback, we go to Gamora and Peter, and this is where she says,
you gotta kill me.
Yeah.
And they end up going to nowhere.
Right? Oh, and this is also Drax with his Zargnuts. Is watching them.
Oh, yes.
I mean, another amazing. How long have you been standing there?
About an hour.
An hour.
Great. I'm invisible.
Mantis walks. Hi, Drax.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So good.
Yeah. I'm invisible. He's eating very, very slowly.
So then they land on Nowhere.
And everything. And obviously, we know that Nowhere had been blown up from Guardians 1 because the collectors.
We don't see it blown up. We see it abandoned.
Destroyed.
They say it looks like everyone is gone.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, in the
first... We don't reveal that it's all messed up.
No. In the first Guardians, the girl grabs the stone and it blows up. Remember?
Yeah, but it doesn't blow up nowhere.
It just blows up the collector's
that
museum.
One place. Yeah,
yeah. It just
remember,
blew
they
up
arrive
place.
And the first thing they say is, "It looks like everyone evacuated."
Right.
We don't see it destroyed yet.
Right. Got it. I was thinking that it got destroyed.
No,
in the
first
they Guardians.
Just blew up his stuff. The collector's.
I
pad.
Do love that Howard the Duck scene.
Yeah.
Why you let him lick your face like
That's
that?
Gross.
Peter tries to give some commands,
and he
to
is
his...
giving commands, and they just like walk right past him.
Yeah, so even Mantis is creeping like with her hands up like a praying mantis right. by him, and he's looking back and forth like, God, no one listens.
Nobody
to
listens
him.
To me. Yeah. And he's like, all right, Drax, you go left. Gamora, you go right. We got this in the bag. And all of a sudden, Gamora is just like going wherever she wants. We see Benicio del Toro shows back up as the collector, mm-hmm. who's going. You know, Thanos kind of has him dead to rights and says, look. I don't have the stone anymore. Like, I sold it. And he was like, you're so full of crap. Like, you would never sell something like that. And Gamora charges and dodges and stabs Thanos.
This is a great head fake because Peter says what everyone's thinking. He literally says, that was fast.
That was quick. And I was just like, that can't.
I mean, everybody, you knew it wasn't, but it's like, wow, how is he going to get back from this?
Right. He does.
Yeah.
So this is where he uses the reality gem that we know that he's
the redstone.
The ether.
Yes.
And it pulls back the reality, and
you
we
see
assume
the, whole
the collector
destroyed.
Is dead. We don't see the collector. He's nowhere to be found. We assume he's dead.
Probably dead.
The whole, all of nowhere is destroyed.
I do like when he applauds his performance, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Magnificent. Because he's fake dying, like in an opera or
right,
something.
Right.
Really fun.
Right. And then he gets a hold of Gamora, and he's got Gamora by like the back of her head. And she's like, this is it, Peter. Like, you have to do it. And he was like, Thanos is pretty much saying he's not going to do it.
Direct Easter egg from the comic books, Infinity Gauntlet. When he turns Drax into the squares and he turns Mantis
into
the
squares,
the slinky looking thing.
Right.
That's exactly what Thanos does to two people in the Infinity Gauntlet
comics.
Which
I'm currently rereading. Okay. Like, I need to go back. I've
great homage. I mean, cubes and the little spiral things like directly out of it. So nice little Easter egg.
So they have this moment where they finally, like, she says, I love you. And he was just like, oh, that's so sweet. And he's like, I love you too. And of course he pulls the trigger. He's going to do it. But as he's pulling the trigger, out comes some bubbles.
Yeah. That got a huge laugh from the audience. People found that really
funny. Which is
funny.
Weird. Like, it's such a weird, humorous moment to put in there. When the he was gonna kill
it's
his
a very
girlfriend.
Serious yeah <title. laughs> but maybe it's like an awkward laugh, like, oh my god, she's not dead, because everyone busted out,
right? And because
he's so serious and bubbles come out, like,
bubbles.
That's a ridiculous thing to happen.
Yeah, I think Thanos is a thing about bubbles, because that happens a lot.
Yeah, that's
more than once. Mm-hmm. so he takes Gamora and leaves.
I think maybe we should just put a pin in it.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And so obviously, it's going to be a long one. So I think this is as good a place as any for me to pee.
And perfect.
I will do it again.
Because Dan and I are both at the age where you never miss an opportunity to pee.
That's right.
No.
Like, yeah, have you got to the point where you look at like adult diapers and you're like, maybe.
Just geez.
Not because
I
can't. I
think I'd go straight catheter.
Not because I can't control it, but it would just be nice to have the flexibility.
But I will say that, like, I planned for this movie and I had no issues.
See,
I didn't drink for a couple days.
Yeah.
For a couple days.
I know. That's, and I did try to plan, and that's why when they were in Scotland, I was like, I'm going to go right now. This seems like a slow point.
Yeah.
And
I'm not just interested in haggis.
I know it's only an hour in, but I'm going to...
Just going to err on the side of
caution. Because there's no way I'm making another 2 hours.
No.
So, like, I'm gonna,
no.
So anyway, so that's it for our own Avengers Infinity War Part 1. And so we will put a pin in it, and we will be back in just a day or two, unless you waited a whole long time and now they're just archived, in which case you can roll right into it. But we will be back. So I guess before we head out and put a pause on this, let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to stay up to date with the show, you can do it at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. We will be back shortly with Avengers Infinity War Part 2. That's our Part 2, not their Part 2.
Right.
Don't get excited. So until then, you've been warned.
Here's the story of a playboy genius who was gearing up to form some sort of crew.
One's a former Russian spy.
A god of thunder.
One fought in World War II.
It's the story of a handsome Star-Lord. Like the greatest to ever walk the earth by far.
And a Falcon.
And a magic doctor.
Wakanda forever. So then one day all the heroes were assembled to fight a villain who packed much more than a punch. And this crew was labeled the Avengers. That's the way we all became the Marvel Bunch. The Marvel Bunch. The Marvel Bunch. That's the way.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.